James chapter 1, let's begin in verse 17. Every good and perfect, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer, if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's pray. Father, we come, Lord, thankful that we have your word, whereby we can receive instruction, that we may be able to know what to do. And God, we ask that as we open up the word here, that you would certainly open our understanding, open these lips to speak the words that would be easy to understand and comprehend. We ask, Father, that you would go with us, that we may be able to rejoice in you, that we may, as we see that Paul speaks of singing with understanding, we ask, Father, that we would be able to hear with understanding and apply the principles that you bring out to our attention this day. We ask, Father, again, that you would remove those sins that would so easily beset us and hinder us from hearing your word and being able to apply your word in our life. And we pray, Father, now that you would hear us, for we ask these things in the name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Father, our Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Well, we've been dealing with a series on the worth of the word, and last time we dealt with rightly dividing the word of truth. This time, we're going to deal with rightly applying the word of truth, or we could say rightly doing the word of truth, as our text indicates. We're to do the word. You know, last time I dealt with two illustrations. Number one was, you know, the concept of long division, doing long division, and you can tell the students how to do it, and they can know how to do it. They may be able to spit it out exactly how to do it, but when it comes test time, that is, you know, to be able to do it themselves after hearing and even understanding, that is the real test. And the same holds true with a doctor, a doctor that's going to learn to be a surgeon. That doctor, that surgeon, as he's in training, has to go to school, and it may understand and be able to spit out what you're supposed to do in various kinds of surgeries, but it's not until they do it that we really, you know, whether they really do know it properly. And, I mean, why do they have this period of internship with doctors? Because there is some value to doing it. And we'll see that as we go along in the message. But the thing that really shows that we consider that God's word is worth so much to us is when we do it. It is a testimony to the world that we mean what we say and we say what we mean. I mean, that we believe this word of truth to be so valuable that even at the point of suffering, we're willing to embrace it, we're willing to obey it. And so that's why, that's one of the reasons too, why this is relevant and important for us. as we seek to be a witness in this world. Our text references here once more the word of truth, God's instrument to beget us, to born us again. We're begotten by the word of truth. And what that says is that this word of truth ought to be have an endearing element to us, because it's through this word of truth that God begat us, born us again. So that there needs to be that love. It's not something that's simply out of duty, but there is an affection involved with it. I don't want to obey God's word only because I'm supposed to, but because as a child of God with a new nature, I want to. I love God's commandments. Love them to the point Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, it's plain what God declares as far as this is concerned. We look at Proverbs chapter 23. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. And we see that over and over in the scriptures. He requires that we not only hear, not only rightly divide, but to do his word. And this is very relevant for us in the sense that we are not our own. We're God's. We're his possession. And we are to do what he says to do. It's like, you know, Madison, you know, she had to be gotten onto a little bit more so than she's getting close to the terrible too. So we're seeing that more and more. She's got to be disciplined because she's not doing what she's supposed to do. Well, she is Elizabeth and Elisha's child, and so there are, she's supposed to do what they tell her to do. And we are not our own, we are God's. We are a purchased possession. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged by this word. God's going to judge us according to his word. We see there in the next chapter over that it says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. That's James 2, verse 12. So it's referencing back again to verse 25 of the first chapter, that we're going to be judged by this law of liberty. So what we want to look at is four things here, or actually not four, two things. That's the next message. Two things. That is, and very simply, rightly hearing the word of truth, and then rightly doing the word of truth. So let's look first of all at rightly hearing the word of truth. Verse 19 and 20 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, there in James 1, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, every once in a while, Madison would get mad because she had to do what mommy and daddy said to do, and she'd get angry. Well, that's not uncommon. We go out into the world, and if you've ever talked to anybody about Jesus Christ, probably sometime or another, they get angry at you. You know, the world definitely will get angry at you. You talk to someone about sovereign grace, they get angry. Or about church truth, they get angry at you. Or about the so-called holidays, they get angry at you. And that's part of our flesh, isn't it? You know, we don't like it when someone says, hey, what you're doing is wrong. That's not right. Even if they do it with all meekness and love and everything else, we can still have a tendency inside. It might not show itself, but inside there's a little turmoil going on. There's some anger being built up. And it's interesting that is brought up as a as one of those deterrents to keep us from hearing. It's a roadblock to keep us from hearing and benefiting from the word of truth and glorifying God as a result of all of that. So, slow to wrath in hearing. Hearing the admonitions, the reproofs, yes, the promises, and yes, the blessings of heaven, and all this that we are in Christ Jesus our Lord, but yes, the reproofs, the rebukes, that's part of it. That has to be preached. Paul told Timothy to reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. It is long suffering because you don't, receive any accolades for doing stuff like that. Usually you get the very opposite. But this word wrath here is a word that comes from to covet after, to desire. It's translated wrath 31 times, anger 3 times, vengeance once, and indignation once. It's a natural disposition, a temper, a agitation of the soul that can be inward and can manifest itself outwardly as well. So it can be expressed in all kinds of different ways. If you are in the workplace and you've shared your testimony of Christ or talked to them about the Lord, it can be showed in simply they avoid you. Okay, I'm talking about avoiding. A lot of times they avoid you as well, just like the darkness doesn't like the light. And so they seek to go in the opposite direction. It is I don't like your beliefs, I don't like you, and really they don't like Christ. They hate Christ in us as we live that life before them. So it could be expressed in being unsociable and friendly, just outwardly showing itself, that is the anger or the wrath, whatever degree it might be, when others may not be looking. Or seeing. It is, of course, God sees it. Some of it may be behind a person's back. It may be behind the church's back in the form of slander and gossip and all these kinds of things. Some other way to vent that resentment and anger toward another, toward the word. It could be outward manifestations such as a cold shoulder or standoffishness or coolness or coldness. And of course, it can go even further into violent acts, like in the case of Stephen. When he preached the word, they didn't like it. They stoned him to death. They were full of wrath. All these things, all these manifestations of wrath and anger, resentment, vengeance, all these kinds of things steal blessings from people. Why they want to do that to themselves? It's because they don't understand. They're not willing to understand sometimes. Eventually, the consequences or the results of that will show itself. So my prayer is that we would not allow Satan to take advantage of us and dupe us and deceive us by allowing anger and resentment and vengeance and all these other kinds of things come to where we won't hear the word. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." We all get angry, and we get sinfully angry. I do. All of us have been there. But it resteth. It stays. It seethes and smolders and rests in the bosom of fools. Or, in the case of God's people, us when we're foolish. And it's a powerful emotion. It's just so hard to say, you know, you can know the Lord can be telling you, this is wrong. Why are you doing this? Can you not cast your care upon me? And it just takes, it's a powerful force. And we cannot handle it on our own. I can't handle it on my own. I mean, I need God's help. None of us are strong enough to be able to deal with this. But it hinders us to be able to hear and gain the benefits of God's word being preached and doing that word and also glorifying God in that. Matthew 5:22, and we'll leave this point. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So, listen. What does it mean to listen? This word carries with it more than just hearing something. It carries with the idea of understanding and comprehending as well. It's not just hearing a bunch of sounds, but it has to do with a comprehension of it, to perceive what is being said, to give ear to the teaching, and to give ear to the teacher. You've heard the expression, lend me your ear, okay? That's part of what that means, is lending an ear to the preaching of the Word of God. Now, what if I just don't understand? Well, part of that is my responsibility, and I'm sure I'm imperfect at it, is that I may use a word that you may not understand. I try to bring up a synonym and I'll say, or this, or define whatever it is. But part of it is the responsibility of the hearer. Did you know that the disciples, the apostles, had to ask Jesus what he meant by things? I mean, the greatest teacher and preacher that ever was and ever will be. Jesus, what do you mean? I mean, couldn't you have used a better word than that? No, I mean, they had to ask him. And you know what? The amazing thing is, they ask him, and his response wasn't so nice. In other words, what I mean is, it was nice in the sense that it cut to the quick. But it wasn't something all that pleasant to the ears, if you will. Notice he said things like, are ye also yet without understanding? He said things like that. And yet they kept asking him. Luke 24:25, when he spoke of the disciples on the way, road to Emmaus, get this. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then Paul, at least I believe he was the writer of the book of Hebrews, but anyway, whoever it was, if it was Paul, he wasn't an eloquent speaker like Apollos was. It says there in Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say, speaking of Christ, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Ouch. But we're to ask. We are to seek understanding. We must call upon a power higher than ourselves. It could be the most elementary thing. And really, it requires God's help to be able to understand anything. It doesn't matter how difficult the concept is or how easy the concept is, because a child can understand these things. But again, it takes God's grace to get someone in that position. It says we are to be swift to hear as a remedy, again, to the roadblocks to hearing. That means, if you look at the word there, swift, it means like a bird flying swiftly to get the prey, to get the food with greed. That's the way we ought to anticipate. This is the way we come into the house of God. I want to hear a word from the Lord. I'm going to come swiftly like a bird who's hungry and needs food to survive. Because it is not by bread alone, but by every word of God that I live. That is the kind of backdrop that ought to be as we come into the house of God. As we come and listen to our Sunday school teachers, as we come to hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Now, is it always that way? No, it isn't. But it should be. It should be that way. So this encourages us. And again, I have to go back to Brother Pyle again. He's not perfect either, but still, I can see him in Naples Park. He sits over there, and if you're up there preaching or we usually sit over there, and I would glance over at him when somebody else is preaching or teaching Sunday school, and he's just smiling. He's loving the Word. He's anticipating with eagerness to hear the Word of God. That is, I mean, what do you think would be a better testimony to someone who's lost? If we're just sitting there like a bump on a log? If we're asleep, what's the better testimony to the lost? What gives God the most glory? When we are actually eagerly anticipating the word of truth. God have mercy on us if we don't. It dishonors God. And that is something that a child of God would not want to do. Then let's look at the place of hearing. There's a place that we ought to hear. You know, the heart says, out of the heart, it says in the book of Proverbs, are the issues of life. Malachi 2:2, if ye will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart. You know, that's the problem a lot of times. Our heart is not dealt with. This is not like coming to hear a lecture. You know, this is something that has to do with our heart, our soul. That's what has to do with eternity. Much more important than coming to, you know, hear a lecture of how you can, you know, save money or how you can make money, how you can retire more comfortably and all these kinds of things that people flock to. Much more important. It's a heart issue. But in Malachi, if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you and will curse your blessing. J.F. cursed him already because ye do not lay it to heart. The other place of hearing is the church. The church, remember we're talking about the word of truth, right? The church is a pillar and ground of the truth. It is the habitation of God in the Spirit. And the Spirit is our teacher and our comforter. It says there in Titus 1:3, but hath in due times manifested his word. How does that happen? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And then again in Ecclesiastes 5:1, keep thy foot when, not if, when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And then we can see the same holds true. It's not only in public, but really most importantly in private. Because what we do in private will come out in public. You know, remember where it talks about going to your closet. Jesus says, go into your closet. and praying to our Father who seeth in secret. In our devotional life, do we have a devotional life where we get and we get alone with God every day? And we pray and we seek to hear His voice. It says in Psalms 91:1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The shadow, the protection, the blessing of the Almighty. I mean, it doesn't have to be in our closet only. It could be flying on a plane. It could be riding down the road. It could be, you know, as we're working from time to time, "Lord, help me to concentrate on what I am doing." And of course, in everyday life, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." I think they got it covered, right? That all and that every, all over that verse, as far as the Word of God abound in every good work. And then the position of hearing. Let's look at, we've looked at the place of his of hearing. Let's look at the position of hearing. In Luke 8:18, it says, Jesus is saying, "Take heed how ye hear." How you hear. Again, this is not just sitting in a classroom, as it were, and like in school, but it is, this is something much more important. We need to be careful how we hear. If I'm at a business meeting at work, and I'm not paying attention, and the boss sees it, might get in trouble. And if the boss, the Lord Jesus, sees it, we're going to be in trouble. He won't bless. He will not. Sometimes people wonder why they're going through the hard time that they're going through. It just might be that they're not hearing properly. They're not in the position of hearing. We mentioned last time, Acts 17:11. "These were more noble," those at Berea, "were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." I don't think that they were sitting, they didn't probably have pews, but whatever they were sitting on, maybe they were standing, maybe that's why they were so attentive. But they had a readiness of mind. They wanted to hear it. They were ready to hear. Are you ready? Are you ready for church? Well, if you're ready for church, you're ready to hear. And search the scripture, we mentioned that last time, daily, whether those things were so. A desire to understand. But it goes even further than that. It goes further. In 2 Timothy 2:7, it says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." When you consider it, "Oh, I've heard messages like this before." Well, you probably have. I probably have heard messages along those same lines as well. We're to put in remembrance these things, coming at it from different perspectives, line upon line, precept upon precept. But consider it means not just hearing it, not just understanding it, but considering it, thinking about it. How does this apply in my life? How can I take this passage and apply it in my life? How can I take this subject of hearing God's word and apply it in my life? Consider it. Pray about it. And there's a humility associated with the position of hearing. What did Mary do? Martha was over there busy, doing this, doing that, thinking about this, thinking about that. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard His word. A position of humility. And that is related in our text too. In James 1, verse 21, it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." What is that? What is that saying? Laying apart. It means to acknowledge, to confess, and forsake sin. We are not in the position to hear God's word. Now, I know we sin every day, don't we? One of the things I think is helpful is before we come to church and we have a moment to say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins as I enter into your house. Lord, help me that I be in a position to hear, a position of humility. God, forgive me. Give me grace to repent of my sins, to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness," not with a proud look, but with meekness, the engrafted word, the implanted word that is able to save your souls. And of course, we could go on about Bible reading and scripture memory and daily reminders and so on and so forth. But we need to understand that we are here at a God-appointed time and a God-appointed place to hear the God-appointed message of His Word. And we cannot do that if we don't pay attention to Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, you know what time we're living in? Some awful times. When things get more difficult, as the moment is coming, as it's getting closer and closer to difficult times, there ought to be an increase of intensity of hearing, because, wow, it's getting bad. I've got to be ready. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is salvation nearer than when we believed. Whatever I got to do. Now, I understand people have medications and medical issues, all these kinds of things. And I've mentioned this before. I thank God I've not had much trouble in my life in staying awake and hearing the Word of God. But if I got to drink coffee or take an energy drink or stand up, then whatever it takes, I got to hear God's Word. I got to hear His message, because that is more important than any other message that I would hear, His Word. It says there in Matthew 13:23, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30." That's a sign somebody's saved, right? They hear it, they understand it, and there's fruit. All the other ground, thorny and rocky, and the wayside ground, didn't have any of that. Those are the things that accompany salvation. But now let's look quickly at rightly doing the word of truth. Rightly doing the word of truth. I think I'm just going to touch on it, because I'm going to continue it in the afternoon message. Notice again at our text, let's look at verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." That's the sad thing, is that people are deceiving themselves to their own destruction, their own hurt. It says very clearly in Matthew 12:50, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And then once more, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Which, by the way, includes the hearing. That includes the hearing. Respecting God's word as it's being preached. We must honor his word while it's being preached. Or while it's being played somewhere. You know, at home I've got this Bible app that reads, and I want it to be quiet. Because this is God's word being read. I should honor God's word. I mean, he's the King of Kings. Let me just close with this. In Hebrews 5:14. Let's just look at, let's begin a little bit earlier to get grab the context here. In Hebrews 5, we note that the Hebrews, they have not striven under blood, striving against sin yet. But they're about to get in some difficult times. Notice there in Hebrews chapter 5. We had mentioned verse 11, but of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have one that one teach you again, which be the first principles or oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Notice there's some using involved here, right? Doing. There's the benefits here, the blessings of it. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, doing the word, applying the word of truth, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What we do is we save ourselves a lot of grief, not just by hearing. That's first. I mean, how can you do if you don't even know what's being said in God's ordained places? It helps us to be able to discern good and evil. The doing of it. That's one of the added blessings of doing the word and hearing the word, both together. You can't divorce one from the other. It helps us to be discerning and to see things that might otherwise catch us off guard, and we be in a position where Satan will take advantage of us, the world will take advantage of us. So let us use, let us apply, let us do the word of truth, and we're going to go into some more details of that this afternoon. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Tim, if you could lead us and ask the blessing on the food as well.
That we're about to partake of. Bless it to our bodies and our physical nourishment. Pray for our pastor this afternoon. Grant him the strength and the wisdom that he needs to preach your word. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.